Good morning. It's time for us to begin. It's good to have this number out with us. Just as a reminder, we'll meet again, Lord willing, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for midweek Bible study. Then again next Lord's Day, 9:30 for Bible study and 10:30 for our worship. Before we begin this morning, just have a few announcements to go over. Just remember those that are out of town. Elijah is at guard duty this weekend, so let's remember him. He should be traveling back this evening. Those we want to continue to remember in our prayers. There are several that had family or friends that passed away this past week, so let's remember all of them in our prayers. James and Sharon with their losses of their family. I was able to talk to Cindy this morning. She said Michael is doing better. That stimulator is working as it's supposed to. He's just having some problems with his legs this morning, so let's remember him. Gospel meetings in the area. Skyline Drive has a meeting that begins today with Wes Bowman, and it will. Rex, is it what? Is it Bowman or Brown? Wes Brown. I had it right. I don't know why I doubted what I wrote. Begins today and goes through the 6th, which is Wednesday night. And those meeting times are posted on the bulletin board in the foyer. And that's all that I have in way of announcements. Is there anything else I need to mention this morning before we begin our worship? If not, those that will take part in our worship, after we have a moment of silence, Seth Biddle will have our scripture reading. It'll be Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 6. Randy Jamison will word our opening prayer. Bob Harvey will be our song leader this morning. His numbers are posted on the board to my right. Rex Biddle will be waiting on the Lord's table this morning. Randy Jamison will bring us the message of the hour, and I'll lead the closing prayer this morning. If there's nothing else, we'll pause for a moment of silence, then we'll have our scripture reading.
As announced, I'll be reading Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer so thankful that you are our Creator and that you have given us a way to be one with you, reconciled with you, and that you sent your Son to be that sacrifice for us. We're thankful for the church here that encourages us, that helps us to pattern our life after your will. And so we're thankful for those that help strengthen us and better us as we try to serve you together. We're especially mindful today of those that have been mentioned that need of our prayers, especially mindful of those that have lost loved ones. We pray that you will comfort them and that we always have a reminder that our life here is temporary and we should spend our time that we have trying to be faithful to you and prepare for that life with you in heaven. Thankful for the improvement in Mike Massey, and we're thankful that Cindy's with us here today. We pray your blessings on them, that they'll continue to improve in their health. Also thankful for the health of those who have undergone, you know, different treatments and different ailments that they have had that have been improving to be with us. We are so thankful for your word that helps guide us as we try to live our life. We're thankful for the teachers here that help us to learn more about your will. And we pray that we'll always have hunger and thirst for your word, so that we'll constantly be reading it, meditating upon it, and not only knowing it, but living it every day. Please be with us as we go throughout this service this morning. Help us to focus our minds on what it is that we are here to do. Help us to think about the words that we are singing in praise to you. Help us to concentrate on the gift of your Son as we partake of the memorial supper this morning. And help us to remain focused and put outside distractions out of our mind as we worship you. Please give us opportunities to share the message with others and to encourage others that need to learn your will and know more about your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help guide us every day of our lives to be faithful to you, so that we can be with you together in eternity. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Father God, thoughts for our worship here from today. Page 166. Love me so. Thoughts of Jesus before we partake of the Lord's Supper, remember how he died for us.
Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. It's a great song for just about what I'm going to talk about for a moment before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, because he loved me so. And I was actually going to read just as verses 14 and 15, but because of the class topic this morning, we're going to back up just a little bit to verse 12, because Paul presents this idea that we're going to think about for the Lord's Supper in the context of the respecter of persons, in a way. Verse 12, we just came off of the thought about that we will stand before the Lord and give an account for what we do in our life, good and bad. And verse 12, Paul says, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why he did the teaching and the work that he did, was to persuade men, knowing judgment is inevitable. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer unto them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ commendeth us, constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which him which died for them and rose again. Really interesting passage, and again says it covers so many things that we're talking about right now. Knowing that judgment is coming, the purpose of Paul's preaching and teaching was to convert men, was to see them come to an understanding of the Scriptures and persuade them, the King James says, to follow the gospel, to respond to the call, and heed what God has warned us about. And then he says, but we're clear. You know that's what we're doing. We're talking about this so that you can give an answer to people who are looking and having a different judgment about what we're doing. Some people think we're crazy. Some people put us down. They judge us to be out of our minds. Well, if that's the judgment they come to, because they judge by appearance and not from the heart of what's really the purpose of our work, then it is still to God that I'm doing it, and that if I'm doing what God wants and that's the way people see it, well, that's my godly work, and that's their problem for not seeing it the right way. It says, if we're judged to be sober, meaning clear and serious about this, that's why you're in this too. And then that just supports you as Corinthians holding the gospel and teaching it the same way. So whether we be beside ourselves as to God or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. The love of Christ is what constrained them, is what was their motivation for the reason for the work. And what was the love of Christ? How did he sum it up? He says, well, it is in the judgment, the understanding that Paul taught, that if one died for all, if we teach Christ died for all, that means all of us needed it. If Christ died for all, then all were dead. Every single person needs this because Christ gave it to every single person. He wouldn't give us something that we didn't need. But by definition, that Christ died for all means that all were dead and need this sacrifice for salvation. And that he died for all, that he did it, is so that those who are restored and given life by him will serve him and be dedicated to him, living for him, because he died for them and rose again. He didn't just die and we serve a memory, a name, but he died and rose again and we serve the living God who had died for us, but overcame death, the firstborn of many who would be raised from the dead through this faith in him. Some people still see that as crazy talk. Some people still see that as ridiculous things to believe. Some people understand that that's very serious and hopefully see us as some of the most serious people they will ever encounter, who teach and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did come and live on this earth, who was died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the prophecies that have been given old, that God's been talking about this for thousands of years, and that it came to fruition and did accomplish everything God had designed it to accomplish. If they do, hopefully they hear the gospel. But nonetheless, just like Paul, the love of Christ constrains us to maintain this. The very least, the very basic, first things that we can do is remember the Lord's death. To remember it, memorialize it as he did. As we partake of the bread, which is in memory of his body that was given on the cross, in service to God and hung on the cross for us. And for the fruit of the vine, which is his blood, the blood of the New Testament, the blood that forgives us for sin. As we partake of it this morning, let the love of Christ continue to constrain us, to motivate us, to memorialize and remember him and teach his precious word to all those we come in contact with. Would you bow with me for the bread? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful to thee for this opportunity to gather again this Lord's Day, this first day of the week. And as we begin our week, Father, to memorialize, remember, recall the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Father, we are thankful to thee for the bread that you've provided this morning, that as we receive this and partake of it, that we can remember his body that was broken on the cross, that we can take, eat, and remember that we are eating his body, that we are remembering and memorializing the sacrifice that he made of living a life of pure righteousness unto you, so that that body could be offered on the cross in our stead. Please be with us as we partake. May you bless us in the partaking, and we thank you and thank him for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue our thanksgiving. Our Lord God in heaven, we continue our thanksgiving to you for the memorial that we are offering this morning to remember the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. We thank you for the provision of the fruit of the vine. We thank you for the meaning of it, Father, that we can remember his blood, that precious blood that was shed, that was sinless before you and yet given for the sins of all others. We thank you for the memorial of the salvation that it afforded us, and may he always be honored and glorified for what he brought us in bringing us to you. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Lord's Supper is concluded.
Because we're going to give this morning, have that concern in our mind. That's not the best way to look at it. The best way is I've had that song, look up to the Lord, trust in Him. He has the power of eternity. Give us salvation, lead us to the promised land and the children of Israel. He made them wealthy beyond their imagination. And not that we may become wealthy in this world, but we have wealth beyond imagination, but we have treasure in heaven. Let's not hang on to the treasures here, but use them for the purposes God has given to us. We bow with you and give thanks to the Lord. Our God and Father who art in heaven, we now come before thee, mindful of the physical blessings that you bestow upon us, for the riches that we have in this world, the health that we enjoy, the ability to not mind today, with the comfort. Pray, Father, that as we are reminded of how well you have prospered us in this world, that we will be generous of heart and share back for the work that is done here, with a contribution for the purpose in our heart, to dedicate unto the work that you would do in your name. All we can say to do. Please be with each one as we give this point. Father, bless us for the generosity, for the cheerfulness that we have, and encourage those things in our life that we trust in you alone and not in these gifts. In the Lord Jesus' name.
Thank you.